Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Say these words with me, please. Jesus.
Jesus.
My God.
My God.
My Lord.
My Lord.
Jesus.
Jesus.
My God.
My God.
My Lord.
My Lord.
We just sang those songs, those lyrics. And, I think it's fitting. The Holy Spirit. Man, isn't it been a wonderful series on the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is going to do what the Holy Spirit is going to do, right? Regardless of what the plans are, what our plans are. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be talking about it more in the sermon today. I retitled the sermon, Boundaries, Barriers, and Prejudices. Boundaries, Barriers, and Prejudices. The Lord has been impressing upon me, and I've been talking to Pastor T about this for weeks now and Benita for a while, but for whatever reason, that he's been impressing upon me his lordship. And of course, as I'm going through my notes last night and I'm reading over the sermon, what I failed to see somehow as I'm preparing this was throughout this passage in Acts 10, what is prominent in that passage is the lordship and the judgeship of Jesus Christ. So I wanted to talk about boundaries, barriers, and prejudices, because I think everyone out here in this room knows that one of the biggest problems we have in our lives, personal lives, in our country, whatever you want to talk about, we're dealing with borders, boundaries, and prejudices. And the fact is, this church, for us who are called Christians, for those of us who follow the precepts and the teachings and our Lord Jesus Christ, that if we have borders, and if we have boundaries, and if we have prejudices, the simplicity of the message for us is this: that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the question is, are we going to submit ourselves to Him? Are we going to submit ourselves to Him? And this is the message that's been reverberating with me for a lot of weeks. As you watch the news, as I've had conversations on my job, I don't know why I'm ending up with these conversations with random folks on my job who are sort of questioning and wondering, what's this thing Christianity? Right? And what they're looking at is all they see are boundaries and barriers when we talk about Christianity. They don't understand where is Christ in all of this, right? They just don't understand. And that's too often because even we as Christians, we haven't really fully submitted to who Jesus Christ is, to who He really is and what he tells us to do as our Lord and our judge. In our prayer, it says in the bulletin, renewal prayer for evangelism and discipleship. Pray for movements, denominations, strategies, and ministries committed to evangelism and discipleship in America. So that's what we prayed about today, right? And as we were praying about this, I was thinking why we have to pray this. Because even within our denominations here in America, we have borders, we have boundaries, we have prejudices, right? So the work of the Lord then gets inhibited by our own thoughts, by the borders and boundaries and prejudices that we build up. It reminds me of a story of a little church. And I thought about trying to change the identity for the innocence of the bulls who I'm going to talk about, but it's our church, right? And 15, 20 years ago, we changed, for those of you who have been with us for, it's almost 28 years for me since I've been in the Baltimore church. It's been well over 40 some years since I've been in the church. And the Lord saw fit to have the blinders removed from our eyes. 1995, I know you guys remember that. And all of a sudden, we really, for the first time, heard the name of Jesus. And a lot of us were excited about that. Some weren't, as you know, because if they were, we wouldn't be able to fit in this room today. But some were excited about the name of Jesus, and we wanted this Jesus, and we wanted to tell people about this Jesus, and we committed ourselves to doing that. And so we left the schools that we used to meet in and all the other buildings, and we found ourselves a church in a nice community where we had a member who did some work in the community. And so we went over to this church, and we were committed to being a part of the community and all these good things in the name of Jesus, right? And that's what we wanted to do. And we had this thriving children's ministry in the community that was going on, that was drawing all these kids into our fellowship, into our little denomination, right? Now, these kids didn't look like our kids, right? These kids came in looking for food. They wanted food. They wanted to play, right? But they wanted to hear about the name of Jesus as well, right? And so one day, as we've been praying about this all this time, and we have been preparing our staff to put the net down, and we're going to see if we're going to become fishers of men. We're going to pull up whatever we pull up, and we're going to serve whoever we find, right? And I think some of you remember one day we had about 15 kids just show up, 15, maybe even more than that, just show up to our church because they had been involved with some people in our congregation during the week, and they had been telling them about this person, Jesus, and how they could get more and know more about this person, Jesus. Just come worship with us. Come to our children's church, and you can find out more about him, right? And so one day they came in mass, 15 young people, maybe even 20, they came. Now, I was sitting up in the main sanctuary that particular Sunday when someone came running up to me concerned and said, Richard, we need you to come downstairs. And I'm like, oh, what's the problem? We have all these kids coming into the neighborhood. So I'm thinking, what's the problem? That's what we've been praying for, right? That's what we wanted. And so I go downstairs and I found out that in our, I don't even know what to call it. I wanted to say zeal, but we took the 15 kids and asked them to go home. We asked the kids to go home. And when I asked why did we ask them to leave, I was told, well, we didn't have enough construction paper for the lesson to have 15 extra kids come. We didn't have enough glue to do the lessons effectively, so we had to ask them to leave. We didn't have enough snacks to feed the 15 kids who had come looking for Jesus, so we had to ask them to leave. One boy in particular had been coming to our church week after week. He was hungry. So we were feeding him, and he knew he can come get something to eat. He can get some physical food, but when he came to get the spiritual food, we, those of us who were so excited to share the name of Jesus Christ, told those 15 kids that day that they had to go. Now, we had a problem because we were living under borders, boundaries, and prejudices. See, I found out that the kids weren't as mannerly as our kids. They could come in and they would sit down and they would listen and they would obey and they were good, and we knew all the parents. So if there was a problem, we can go get the parents, but there were no problems. But I found out these kids were a little bit more, you know, rambunctious. They didn't sit down as easily, right? They wanted to move and walk around. And this big space we had that had pictures and posters of who Jesus is and mantras that we had on the wall and this excitement. And it excited them so much to be in a place where they could come and they could eat and they could fellowship, right? So they didn't quite fit the mold, the boundaries we had on what a child should do in children's ministry, right? So when I heard this, I was sad. I was sad. This was almost 20 years ago when this happened. I was sad, but then I thought to myself, well, you know what? I think Jesus wanted to see if we were really ready, and we weren't. So there's no way Jesus is going to allow those 15 kids who were, there are adults now, and I have no idea what impact that had on those kids, even now. You think about stuff like that? What kind of impact? But I know Jesus has them. We weren't ready, right? Because we were still operating under certain assumptions, under certain boundaries and borders and prejudices in our church. In our church. See, we were excited about the name Jesus, but we really never knew who he was. And so Jesus said, well, I got to get to know my people before we can keep moving forward here, right? That's what he did during all that time. And during all that time, we got smaller and smaller. As he got to get to know us better, he moved us from here to there. And we got smaller and we had more hardships. And we had to rely more on him more and more and more and more. We got to know him, right? We got to know what it really truly is to need to really rely on Jesus. We couldn't just say his name and all be great, right? We really had to know who he was. Because that's the only way you can really share who he is to know who he is. And so all that time, he took us all the circuitous route, and we wanted our own church, and we thought we had it there. No, it wasn't going to be there. We thought we had it there. No, it wasn't going to be there. And Jesus was like, follow me, children. I want to get to know you. You need to get to know me so that I can break down those borders and those boundaries and those prejudices. See, we live in a time now where that's the norm, right? Well, I'm under the personal impression is that this has always existed. We just have cameras now. We got phones. We have 24-hour news cycles now, which seems to be able to just report on this stuff all the time. But I think what that does, it incites us, right? So we live in a time of borders, boundaries, and prejudices. That's just the life we live now. You turn on the TV, you have a conversation with somebody, and you got to kind of wonder, which faction are they in? Can I even have this conversation about Jesus Christ over here? Because they may think that I'm a Christian. Then they're going to automatically assume certain things that I'm a Christian. So I'm going to put them over here, and I'm going to come over here, right? And can I get some water, please? So I'm going to come over here. And so that's how we live. That's the problem we have today in our families, right? We have these same borders and these boundaries, right? These prejudices even within our own families. We live with that. In our jobs, we're finding ourselves having to combat this thought. And even in our churches. That's why we have to pray like this in our churches. Because we're not even in the same, Christians, we're not even saying the same thing or thinking the same thoughts about people. About a person we may see who's laying on the ground over there sleeping. We have different thoughts. We don't have godly thoughts sometimes. Right? We don't. We don't. I've heard of churches that have kicked people out because they've come in off the streets and they weren't dressed appropriately, so they asked them to leave. What kind of boundaries are those when it comes to who Jesus is, who the Father is, and who the Son is? In our efforts to live the kind of lives that we really want to live. Now think about whatever environment you're in, school, church, family, whatever that is, in our ability to make our lives what we want them to be, that's how we erect these boundaries and these things in our lives. We want to keep everyone out. But God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, says no. God, who we said is Lord, says no. In the life of the Father, Son, and Spirit, we see no boundaries. So do you really see who God is? Because when you really look at God, you can't see boundaries. You see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit working together in unity, right? Opening up and inviting and including and making access to those. To come, drawing, as Donna said in her prayer, drawing people in. That's who the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is. Is that what we do as Christians? Acts 10 reminds us that the gospel tears down the boundaries that often separate people. So my question is, if we are practicing borders and boundaries and prejudices, then what gospel are we listening to? And I would venture to say it's not the gospel. But what do we think we're listening to? So that means relationally then for us as Christians, if you are living behind boundaries, if you're living behind barriers and prejudice today, then you haven't fully grasped the true gospel. Or maybe you've never fully heard the true gospel. Or maybe you've never seen Jesus Christ up close and personally. Or maybe you're not fellowshipping with others who have. Maybe your borders and boundaries are so high that you don't even fellowship with fellow believers. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you haven't seen Jesus Christ up close and personal. Maybe you haven't seen him alive and working in the life of this family over here, or that family back there, or this person over here. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. So let's read the gospel. Let's read the true gospel. Let's open up our Bibles and let's read what the Lord has to say. Right? One of the things, again, it's been impressed upon my heart is we're putting too much credence on other things other than who God is and what he says. Right? So what does the gospel say? Do we opine on religion? Do we opine on politics without finding out what the Lord says? Do we opine on our marriages? Do we opine on raising our kids without finding out what the Lord says? Are we so quick to give our own opinions and how we feel versus what the Lord says and what the Lord feels? So I want to encourage us, church, that we need to put credence and importance and effort into understanding and finding out what the Lord says, who has lordship over us and in our lives, who can tell us how to live and what to do to be peaceful and to be happy. We have to understand who the Lord is and what he says. So in Acts 10, we read a story about boundaries, barriers, and prejudices that are being removed. So if you want to understand how God deals with these things, let's read Acts 10. God challenged Peter's tradition of clean and unclean foods in order to further challenge his perspective of clean and unclean people. Isn't that interesting, right? For us people, it's always about things, right? With God, it's always about relationship. So we hold true and hold fast to things, right? So sometimes in order for us, for God to deal with us relationally over here, he's got to deal with our things over here. Maybe he's got to touch your pocketbook a little bit. Maybe he's got to touch your car so that you can really, really, truly like lean on him and understand. I need your focus not here. I got that. But I need your focus, your true focus over here. So that's what God had to do with Peter. He had to touch his tradition that he held so high as a Jew of clean and unclean foods in order for him to challenge his perspective about clean and unclean people. Peter learned that God does not show favoritism, but calls his people to proclaim the message of Jesus' death and resurrection to all people, to celebrate his work in the lives and welcome believers into the family regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their social standing, regardless of their possessions, regardless from where they're from, regardless to how many kids they have, regardless to whether or not they have kids, regardless as if they're married, regardless if they're single, regardless if they're black, white, red, brown, purple, and hello. Sorry. Regardless. This mic is, I don't know if it's killing you guys. But regardless, right? So again, I want to give this sermon to you within the context of the Lord's lordship. And rather or not, as we hear these words, we're willing to, as we should, submit to his lordship and have faith in the fact that he is the God who knows all and sees all, right? And has our best intentions at heart. So the first point I want to make in the sermon today is God is working in the lives of people around us, whether we know it or not. Whether we know it or not. It's not important if we know it or not. It's important to know that God works in people's lives. Pastor T's been talking about this for weeks. The mystery of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit does a work, but how he does that work in my life, in your life, in his life, in your life is different. I'll give you an example. The Holy Spirit, I mean, the Lord may say, the Father may say, I want my people to go to the King of Kings right here on this wall. Right? And so he may tell me, well, I want you to just walk straight to the sign. Just walk. That's the work he's doing in my life. Right? He may tell my son, oh, I don't want you to go that way. I want you to go through that hallway. Now, if I'm ignorant to the fact that God is working in his life, I may be walking over here looking at him saying, what the heck is he doing? Where's he going? It's right here. Right? But I don't know what God has going on. This could be somebody in that lobby that God wants him to pick up on the way. Right? So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He can tell some of us to come over here and have a seat. Sit down. In fact, let's have a meal. Bring some of that fish and chicken we had yesterday, some of that those beans. Let's sit down here. Now, if I'm walking straight and I look back at what's going on over here, lazy, he's lost, right? He don't know what's going on. Clearly, the path is this way, right? Well, I would say this. Clearly, the path is the path that the Holy Spirit tells us to get on, right? So it doesn't matter. But if I, in my own wisdom, decide to look back and put up a barrier or a prejudice to what's going on over here, then I'm the one who's losing out, right? Because I'm not understanding. Then I put myself in the place of where Jesus belongs, right? So we have to understand that no matter what it looks like, parents, this is what my wife and I have been talking about all the time with our kids now that they're leaving us. Hold on one second. God is working in their lives no matter what it looks like to you.